Hi, this is Russ Walden with Father's Heart Ministry, and I want to bring a message to you today. The dangerous lie of going it alone in your faith. In Ephesians 2:6, Paul makes a declaration that God has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. One thing we overlook in this passage is the us component. Sometimes we just apply these things to ourselves individually, and we wonder why our lives don't reflect the promise that these verses entail. In this case, Ephesians 2:6, it's not a me thing, it's an us thing. And in order to be the beneficiary of what Paul's talking about, we then have to find our tribe. Me and Jesus Got Our Own Thing Going is a well-known gospel country song written by Tom T. Hall and notably recorded by country music legend George Jones. The song's core message suggests this highly personal and individual relationship with Jesus, implying a direct connection that doesn't necessarily require, so the song alleges in its message, external intermediaries or strict adherence or even involvement with organized religious structures. Me and Jesus got our own thing going. Me and Jesus got it all worked out. Me and Jesus got our own thing going. We don't need anybody to tell us what it's all about. Let's take a closer look at this go it alone mentality. This song is popular for its direct and relatable portrayal of faith, and it's been a topic of discussion in religious circles. Some interpretations see it as an expression of personal salvation, intimacy with God, emphasizing that faith is ultimately a matter between an individual and Jesus. And granted, that is a truth, but it is not the truth. It's an emphatic truth that has a place of understanding in our thinking, but neither is it a mandate that we want to live our lives strictly by in a solo manner. This go-it-alone sentiment, while deeply rooted, particularly in American thinking, raises questions about, is this thinking in alignment with the heart of God? Sadly, a footnote to this anecdote about the song's writer, Tom T. Hall, has a somber layer. On August 20th, 2021, Tom T. Hall died by suicide. This is tragic. It is a tragic end. It's a minor fact in the song's history, but it highlights a concerning trend. Researchers indicate that the spiritual but not religious demographic, the spiritual but not religious crowd, known for their individualistic approach to spirituality and their reticence toward organized religion, researchers can demonstrate vulnerabilities in various areas of the spiritual but not religious crowd, according, again, to research that's been done. Researchers report a significant higher incidence of anxiety and depression among these go-it-aloneers, a higher divorce rate, and tragically, even higher suicide rates than professed agnostics and atheists. Yet, despite these statistics, the out-of-church demographic and the spiritual but not religious mindset thrives and dominates Christian circles, primarily among evangelicals, charismatics, and even Pentecostals. But when we look at this Ephesians 2:6, it's a corporate truth more than it is a personal truth. Okay, again, this brings us to Ephesians 2:6. It declares it, let's read it, that God has raised us up. Hold on now. Us up together and made us to sit together. What if there's somebody next to you that you don't like? I prefer not to sit with him. Okay, if you're going to be raised up together, sometimes you don't get to pick your partner. The word heresy in the Bible comes from a root word in the Greek. It means choice. And for decades, the newspapers in the religion page, they always say, go to the church of your choice. If you're going to the church of your choice, you're going to the church of your heresy. You're not necessarily where God puts you. We often read these passages and we gloss over important aspects, in this case, the us aspect of the text that speaks directly to our relationship with God and, in this instance, our relationship with one another. Now, preachers have rightly declared that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ, but we need to pause and notice that this is not a singular truth, it is a corporate truth. It's more than just a you application, it's an us application. It doesn't say that God raised you up to make you sit in heavenly places in Christ. Rather, it reads, God has raised us up and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ. You say, you're cherry-picking the reading. What about the Great Commission? What if Jesus said, I command you to go into all the world? Peter heard that and he said, now hold on, what about this one over here? He was pointing at John. Peter was under pressure. Feed the sheep, go out into all the world. And all of a sudden, he didn't want that to be an individual mandate. Oh, what about John? And he said, what is that to you? You go do what I told you to do. And so it's not that we're incapable of understanding this. So the question, is your walk with God styled in the manner promoted in Tom T. Hall's hit song? Or are you an us believer? Do you recognize that there are blessings, favor, and levels of authority in Christ that only show up in our lives when we're a part of something larger than ourselves, when only when we're integrally connected to other believers, as Scripture plainly advocates? God hasn't just raised you up individually. He has raised us up, and if we are not a part of an us demographic in the body of Christ, then this truth may not, probably will not, fully manifest in your life, if at all. God sets the solitary in families. Every believer has their tribe. Jesus didn't die just to save you, but to raise up his church with you as a part of it. The church was so important to Jesus that he gave his all to establish it through the work of the cross. But how glibly do so many believers today, in this high-minded thinking, they feel they're utterly at their leisure just to pull back and move away from the churches. I've been church hurt. I'm burnt, bruh. I get that. But if John chapter 15, Jesus was saying, abide in the vine. He said, if you don't abide in the vine, men will gather you and cast you into the fires of their own burning. It's not talking about angels at the end of the age. He's talking about how church psychology works. If you've been burnt, maybe you were following men. If you don't abide in the vine, yes, and your own walk with God, then men gather you, you get burnt, and then you blame God and you try to sit out a corporate connection to the body of Christ till Jesus comes. In so doing, listen, you're excluding yourself from a level of blessing and you're placing yourself in danger when you choose to have this go-it-alone mentality in spiritual matters. Tom T. Hall's song was popularized and became a part of American culture by George Jones, one of the greatest country western stars of all time. Jones had a long and storied career, but also he had a well-documented battle with alcoholism and drug addiction, which greatly impacted his health over the years. Yet despite all of these personal struggles, he remained one of the country music's most revered and influential voices until his passing. However, he embarked on a farewell tour in 2012, which was intended to conclude in late 2013, but he wasn't able to finish. Now, I wonder how much this fierce individualism and independent thinking about spiritual things contributed to the struggles Jones faced and ultimately contributed to his inability to finish the race. What about finishing your race? Is that go-it-alone mentality going to keep you from finishing the race that Jesus has for you? Jones made the effort for his farewell tour, but he canceled it in failure just after a few short months. Don't let this be your story. God wants you to finish well. He wants you to run the race and finish your race in a glorious manner with your testimony intact. For that to happen, you have to realize that God never meant for you to go it alone in spiritual things. You need others. You need Christian leadership in your life. You need the church and all that it represents. Is the church perfect? No, neither are you. We are imperfect people utterly dependent on the grace of God to get through our lives. And Ephesians 2:6 makes it plain that there are levels of impartation, glory, power, and authority that independent-minded, go-it-alone believers will never know. So let's change our thinking. Are you capable of changing your thinking? Christians repent to come into the kingdom, and they liked it so little that they never repented again. Listen, let's follow the mandate of Scripture so we can appropriate and fully experience all that Jesus died to provide. And that involves connecting with other believers, going back to church, being a part of and rejoicing in the family of faith that God made available to us. Now, I remember I had a friend who was a minister back in the 70s when you could hardly find a church. They weren't churches, they were teaching centers. And all the churches took the name church off of their sign. And this is the Charismatic Teaching Center. It's the Glory Teaching Center. And God began to deal with my friend, who was a Christian leader at that time. And God told my friend, I don't know about you, but I'm going back to church. And so he went and changed the sign from whatever the name of his church was from a teaching center to a church, because Jesus didn't say, upon this rock, I'll build a teaching center, but that he would build a church, or that he would build a tribe of go-it-alone believers. No, he's building a church. And ask yourself, are you a part of it, or have you chose to go it alone to your own detriment? So this exploration of me and Jesus got our own thing going in the light of Ephesians 2:6 reveals this tension between individual faith and corporate fellowship. While a personal relationship with God is certainly foundational, the statistics surrounding the spiritual but not religious demographic, coupled with these insights from Ephesians, strongly say to us that isolation brings vulnerability and limits the full experience of God's blessings in our life. The tragic stories of Tom Hall and George Jones, while not directly proving a causal link, they serve as poignant reminders of the potential dangers of the go-it-alone approach to faith. Even for those with profound talent and influence, the overarching message is clear. God designed you for connection in the body of Christ, and there are spiritual benefits and protections that are only found in community. So, let's reevaluate our perspective on church. Are you capable of challenging these preconceived notions and past hurts that may be keeping you from engaging with the local church community? Seek out Christian fellowship. Actively pursue opportunities to connect with other believers, whether in a formal church setting or through smaller groups. Embrace interdependent faith. Understand that your walk with God is strengthened and enriched through your connections with others in the faith. Prioritize involvement in a local church. Make a conscious effort to regularly attend and participate in a church that aligns with biblical teachings. Submit to spiritual leadership. Recognize the value and necessity of godly leadership and guidance in your spiritual journey. Heavenly Father, we come before you, God, with humble hearts, gratefully acknowledging the truth revealed in your word. And we pray for understanding and wisdom to embrace the corporate nature of our faith. Father, help us to see beyond individualistic notions and to recognize the profound blessing of community within the body of Christ. Lord, we ask you for grace to heal past hurts and disappointments, things that have kept us from actively engaging with the church. Open our eyes to the power, protection, and provision found in biblical fellowship. Strengthen us to connect with other believers, to submit to godly leadership, and to fully participate in the family of faith that you've established by the work of the cross. Father, let our lives be a testament to the unity and love that you desire for your people. Guide us to finish our race well and not alone, but surrounded by the saints, all for your glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless you.